Hare Krishna.
Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryan Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidyavishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. 22, this is on. Okay, so this is again on the... Yeah, Bhagavatam verse 11, 12, 17. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, the Supreme Lord gives life to every living being and is situated within the heart, along with the life air and the primal sound vibration, pranena goshena. The Lord can be perceived in his subtle form within the heart by one's mind. Mano mayam shukshmam. Since the Lord controls the minds of everyone, even great demigods like Lord Shiva, the Supreme Lord also assumes a gross form as the various sounds of the Vedas, composed of short and long vowels and consonants of different intonations." So here, notice that the sound vibration of the Veda, that is the gross form of the Lord, right? So then how much more subtle like that? Because then we'll say, you know, the life airs and everything, that's subtle, that he is the potency of that life airs, right? Because otherwise, you have the 10 life airs, so they're just air moving in the body. But that they have that potency, that's Krishna. Does that make sense? Because you have the five main life airs and then their counterparts. So it means, you know, it's like breathing in, then breathing out, you know, expanding, contracting. All these different things. So all whatever movements can be made, they're by these life airs. Now, where does the potency that can happen come from? That's Krishna's, the prana. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes.
Sounds of the Vedas, they're less subtle than prana?
Because it seems so, because that one, the prana, you can't see. Here, you can hear them. So there, one is an internal. But the point is what makes that work is Krishna. So that's the whole point. He's the subtlest. So in this comparison, then, the sound of the Veda, which is very subtle, is gross. You know, comparison, right? Like that. You know, just like the Hiranyagarbha form, is that he is all the things. So what makes everything work, right? Someone has a face. What makes the face a face? That potency, that's then the Lord. Does that make sense? So we're not talking about... he is, of course, the earth, water, fire, air, ether, but you don't count him as him so much. You will say he is everything, but you don't get into so much detail. Right? Because you get into what's subtle, what's behind it. Is that okay, then where we were at the bottom of 38. The Vedas are further described. The Vedas are ornamented with consonants and other sounds by contact with the throat and chest arising from Om. This Om is not the audible form, but a subtle form within the heart, being without limbs. The Veda is filled with variety, with Vedic and common language. Right? So the common language means what we call the classical Sanskrit. Right? So that's the common language. Because right? Remember, the Veda itself is Krishna directly, right? Because that's always about Krishna. Right? The Veda is always about Krishna, whether we understand it or not, like that way, but it's always Krishna. So the classical Sanskrit is ordinary because you could use it for talking about, you know, what's lunch or, you know, how you say Sanskrit Prajalpa, you know, stuff like that. You know.
That would be all those Gandharva.
Yes, all those kind of things. Yeah, because it's in Sanskrit. So, but it's not that the potency of that, the attractiveness of that's not Krishna, but then it becomes goes into the indirect.
And what would be our language then called?
Then that's then you have below that you have Prakriti. I mean, yeah, Prakriti, which means languages that are derived from Sanskrit. I mean, like Bengali, Gujarati, Brajbhasa, like that. So you could say, as depending on the language, they're like, you know, probably 85-90% Sanskrit. Means the roots, the words, and everything. The grammar is simplified. Instead of so many different forms, they just use one form, like that. So then that works like that. Then you get derivatives of that. That would be where we're kind of talking, right? Means in your world languages. And then you take, you know, parts of all those different languages and all that, and then you get English. So you could probably say it's the most mixed of mixed languages. Every other language is pretty much has their own kind of identity, their own grammar and all that. English doesn't have any of that. Because it is a language, you can do it. You impose grammar upon it, but it doesn't naturally come with grammar. Right? That's just the way it is. I mean, a linguist may oppose this point, but they take the language and put grammar on it. It's not that you take another language, like German, it has grammar, and then what you say, you go back to the grammar. So by that, it gets built. You know, people with time, they may simplify the grammar, but it still starts. But English, you say it, and then what you've said, then you apply grammar. You know what I'm saying? And then whatever's accepted at that point, then you say, oh, this is grammar. So in other words, whatever they're teaching at Oxford and Harvard, then you'll say, this is English. Right? But it actually is just how they're using it, and then they're applying the grammar. So it's slightly different. So that's why for in the school, since you're applying grammar, we just took Sanskrit grammar and applied it on English. And it makes it a lot more understandable because the English grammar itself doesn't explain things properly. It can't. It's not scientific. It's just kind of arbitrarily put because it looks like it fits there. You know what I'm saying? You know, like you have an elbow and you have a shoe and the shoe's kind of bent and the elbow's bent so they kind of go together like that kind of thing. Like that. Well, the Sanskrit is science, so then you can apply it on any derivative of it. And it works much better. It's much easier to understand. Yes?
He says German, he says all other languages come from the mispronunciation of Sanskrit.
Yes. Someone was explaining that they were reading a text where it was some study, you know, some, you know, pro-Vedic Indian scholar, that you have all these different recessions in the Veda. And one of the things with them is they have options of pronunciation. Because you have so many things you can do like that. There's things that are the standard, and then there's stuff that you can do that or not do that. So they were saying that depending upon the recession, there has a particular kind of pronunciation. And then from that pronunciation, he says, that's where you get the Prakriti from. So the Prakriti is just based on you pronounce things according to that. That's how you get Bengali and all these different languages. That they're actually based on a particular recession of the Veda. Like that. So, you know, that's one of those works where somebody, great scholar, does all these things, but because it's not popular, he just gets it printed, and it only gets printed once, that kind of.
200 copies.
Yeah, like that. You know, so that's the problem with good scholarship, is it's not, it doesn't end up on the, what do you call it, you know, that list of...
Times
bestsellers, yeah.
Wait, is that why there's so many different regional dialects?
Yes, that's person. And then probably with time, probably before it was very subtle. Like I remember when we were in South and we were chanting the mantras, they're all technically correct, but one of the persons there said that we chant with a Bengali accent. Like that. But, you know, of course, they chant with a Tamil accent, but, you know. So it's subtle. So most like it started off there. Because you go back to you know, your Bengali, that Sarubhasha. So that'll be more Sanskrit. So it probably started there, and then from there it goes down into what the common people speak, and so then it gets even more, just like a, you get off into like Jessor and how you say Bodhishal and all that. It's like sometimes you can't even tell what they're saying, you know, like that. It's remember I came into a shop once and just for a joke started talking in one of those accents, and to my amazement, the shop owner started talking back in that accent. So they know all the accents for whoever comes in the shop. They just talk how they talk. So I was actually quite surprised. Yeah. Okay. So continue with here. The Vedic is filled with variety, with Vedic and common language. It has meters, each with four more syllables than the previous one. The Vedic, you know, because you have the four. I mean, the 8, then you have 12, then you have 16, then like this. Right? The Veda has no end in terms of sound and no limit in terms of meaning. Anantaparam, Sardartha Darshani, 11:21-36-40. Because it's like, Lord Chaitanya gave 64 meanings to the Atmaram verse. And that's just because 64 is a number, it's a good number. We can relate to it, and beyond that we can't. Just like Rupa Goswami gave 64 qualities of Krishna. He has unlimited. But like 64 we could focus on. So that seems to be, it's like these kind of things where you're getting great number, 64 is the standard used, like arts. You can relate to it. You can actually learn it. You know, it's just like someone said that there was a study that 144 people is a group that you can actually, everyone can know each other and actually, you know, have more detail about. Bigger than that, you know their names and all that, but you can't know individually, you just can't accommodate. So 64 is kind of a standard that you could accommodate that. I think it was also Madhvacharya when he was giving meanings to Vishnu Sahasranam. He went through Vishnu Sahasranam, gave a meaning. Then he went back, gave another meaning to every name. Then again, and after the 40th time, the disciples just said, that's it, we can't handle anymore. Right? So they didn't even make it to 64. So 64 is quite liberal, right? Mm-hmm. Is that? Yeah, so there's unlimited meaning. So main meanings will be given, but it's actually unlimited. You can't actually know the end of it. Otherwise, how is Ananta Sesh still talking? You know, it's not that he's never come to the end, because after mouth 1 finishes, then he moves that discussion over to mouth 27 or something. You know, and then they just keep talking like that. No, it's that you can never get to the end. So, yeah. He adds, in terms of meaning, it is also difficult to understand. Its meaning is very deep and thus difficult to comprehend. Shruti says, Chatvarti vak. Pari mita padani tani vitur brahmana ye manishinaha guhyayam trin nihita neghayanti turiyam vacho manushya varanti. Wise men know the four aspects of sound in the Vedas, by which truth is known. They do not reveal the three aspects which are hidden within the body. Men speak the fourth form as words. Rig Veda 1:64-45. Because as we mentioned, there's the primordial cause of sound. Right? And that primordial cause will be the basis of everything. So that means that unlimited sound that is there, unlimited meanings. Then there's going to be the concept from that that you want to take. Like we said, you have a root word, and so that word makes up all the words within that category. Right? So then you can get unlimited words out of one root. So then which one you're thinking, you know, the concept that is there. So you have the original sound, then you have that conceptual, then you're going to have what you're going to do with that. Words that you're going to use, what are they accomplishing? Because that's the next thing, your goal, what are you going to get? Right, the method you're going to get, the active part. Then you're going to get the items that are used, right? Because you're going to talk about some nouns. Does that make sense? So in other words, the first is the unlimited root of everything. the Lord, right? Then you're going to have the particular concept you're looking at. Then you're going to the third level is the verbs. Then you have the fourth level will be the nouns that are going to accomplish those verbs. Then the fifth level is what comes out of your how you say, out of your mouth, the words itself. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? That's how sound works. So those first two you can put together. So in here when they talk about four, because you see previously you mentioned five, you mentioned the chakras, so now here he's talking about four. So it just means those first two are put together. Yes?
Are these mechanics only required in the material sphere? These mechanics not?
The point is what does it matter in the spiritual world? See, here we don't care. We just go on in our day-to-day life and we talk. Why learn these things? Right, because there's a defect in the talking. So, because we don't understand, we just say, what's the thing? We're just speaking words. But the point is words are nouns, right, that are going to be applied through verbs. So that means you have a situation in which you apply action for a purpose. Right, so sambandha avideya and prayojana. Right, and then there's your intent. What was the concept behind it? But that's based on the Supreme Lord. So everything you're dealing with is coming from the Lord. So therefore, that means all situations are connected to the Lord, all actions are connected, all purposes, all results, all attitudes. So that's why we analyze it here, because we break it down. Because once you break it down, then somehow or another it's not so glorious anymore. Right? Does that make sense? As soon as we dismantle something, it loses its interest, right? You know, it's like if you're telling a nice story, everybody's there, it's a packed house. You know, as soon as you start breaking down and analyzing technically things, then it starts to thin out, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole idea. So that's why we do that. But in the spiritual realm, what they're speaking is perfect. It's already connected to Krishna. What's the need to analyze? Right? Unless it's a value to the particular taste of the rasa, then they may analyze. You know what I'm saying? But that's only because it adds to the flavor. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. So that's why here we make a distinction between the sambandha abhideya prayojana, between sandini sambit ladini, but in the spiritual world they don't make these distinctions. Because it's not about jnana, it's about Krishna. It's not that they don't use intelligence and have knowledge in connection with Krishna, but it's only in connection with rasa. Right? Because even this, we're able to catch. Right? We've been working with it now, this is, what, seventh year, this kind of technical things. We kind of catch, but you notice whenever we hit things where it deals with analysis of rasa, then gone. Even though it's using the same intellectual technicalness. Right? But because it's in another area that we just don't know, because rasa is not something in the material world we really understand. Right? Secondary, yes, but primary, no. Is that? Yeah. Because primary rasa means it's about someone else. Right? So primary rasa means your five rasas means in connection with Krishna. That's rasa. But then supporting that are the secondary rasas. So since we've left Krishna out in the material world as the primary, and we just get into the secondary, so that means naturally the secondary rasas will be more prominent. Right? So just like, let us say, like we were discussing yesterday, that you have a bunch of friends together. Okay? And so there is that slight understanding of friendship rasa means not that we can't, the concept of it we don't relate to. But what are they doing as friends? They're just sitting around laughing and joking or something. Criticizing a third party or, you know, that's what holds them together, right?
Neutral hatred.
Yeah, you know, what is that saying about your enemy? Then, where you have a common enemy, then those two are allies. But there's a saying for that.
The enemy of your enemy is my friend.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, yeah. You understand? So, they're working on that. So, that's not actually friendship. That's political alliance. You understand? Because friendship, there's a different, that's a whole different kind of thing. That you have a relationship, no matter what happens, it's there. Like Chanakya Pandit says, when you're sick, who stays around? That's your friend. Because so many people know you and this and interact when, you know, things are working. But when things stop working and you can't do anything, that's then you see, okay, these are friends. Does that make sense? So therefore the secondary rasa. So that's why when we talk about the details of primary rasa and then analyze it, it doesn't make as much sense to us.
It was, I think, that your neighbor's enemy is your friend.
Your neighbor's enemy is your friend.
Ah, okay. Remember the Middle Kingdom?
Yes, the Middle Kingdom. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And in this case, the Middle Kingdom's the enemy, right? So what's on the other side? Right, and he said, yeah, yeah. Your neighbor, the guy on the other side of your neighbor, he's your friend. Because if you both decide to put water onto his lawn or like that, then he's in trouble.
Right? Regarding understanding rasa, if we cannot catch it because we have no frame of reference, how will we catch it?
By service to Krishna. So if we are sitting here listening as a matter of devotional service, and in that way we want to please Krishna, then with time, then Krishna will reveal, and it'll make some sense. Enough time. They say the required time. So it goes anywhere between one moment and millions of lifetimes. So since we've taken up Krishna consciousness, we've reduced the millions of lifetimes down significantly. So, yeah. Anywhere in between. Okay. The meaning is this: the words of the Vedas, Vak, are measured, parimita. Padani means those forms by which the supreme truth is known, padyate. The sounds have forms which the wise know. They do not reveal the nature of the three which are hidden in the body because men speak the fourth from form, vaikari. Men speak this, but they do not know the truth. There's another verse concerning this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I might miss, but what are these four forms?
That's what we were just discussing?
Those ones?
Like yes,
verbs,
yes.
Verbs, nouns, concepts?
Yeah, yeah, like that. Like that means they all have, but that's the part of the word they're dealing with. They have, they're connected with a particular chakra, mm-hmm. and they have a particular name. Like that. Like that means this one, the throat's anahata? Or that was the heart one, I can't remember.
The heart is anahata.
Anahata.
Is?
Vishuddha. So the Vishuddha, from the Vishuddha chakra you get Vaikari.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So from Anahata you get the nouns. So then from the below that, you know, then that one you get the verbs. And then the Muladhara, that's the concept.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the connection to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, because there has to be a concept, there has to be potency. Then there's going to be the action itself, like that. So that's the thing in the Vedic, all the sciences line up. There's no inconsistency between any of the sciences. Well, in the modern, each what theory one throws out today, tomorrow the other school is picking it up as their new theory. Right? So there's no consistency. But in the Vedic, you can take any of the sciences and it'll go in line.
You said about the wise, they do not reveal that other three forms. So is it speaking of the yogis?
That just means, because as soon as you bring that in, everybody falls asleep, so you don't even talk about it. It means wise enough not to say these things because no one else cares. Mm-hmm. See, it means those who know the truth because they know it's the Lord. The actual speaking process is actually the Lord. So that's why, then, since it's the Lord, why not use it in connection to the Lord? So that's why they speak always according to Veda. Okay. There's another verse concerning this. That sound spoken from the house of Mitra and Varuna, composed of 63 sounds, appeared as prana, or para, with the senses manifest within. It first became Pashyanti, then Madhyama, situated with intelligence, and then Vaikari, which is clear to the senses in the Vishuddhi Chakra, Sardartha Darshani, 11, 12, 17. Right, so Pashyanti Madhyama and Anvaikari. So these are the levels, right? Because Muladhara is not, that's the original. Right, but that's where you have to start from. You have to start from the original and then take from there. So, okay. So that's the gross form of the Lord. Yes. So he's beyond all this. Okay, that does that end? That ends that section, no?
Yes,
yes, okay. Sutra 1-2. They mentioned to you about the numbering?
The previous, yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Seems that the numbers just got, the dots got moved over. And
it
stuff.
Was copy and paste.
Yeah, yeah. I figured when it did, it went something funny. Yeah. Okay. Vivakshita guno papatesh cha. Vivakshita, wish to be said. Guna, qualities. Upapate, because of being appropriate. Cha, and. Manomaya refers to Brahman because of other qualities in the passage which refer to Brahman. Sutra Prakashika. Here we learn that the word Manomaya must refer to Brahman because the qualities given here most appropriately describe Brahman. Only Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Brahman, is Manomaya. It is impossible for a jiva to possess this attribute. Right? Because when we say Dharma, what does Dharma mean? The inherent nature of something. No jiva has ever given the inherent nature to anything. The jiva can be pious and work with, according to scriptures, the inherent nature. Or the jiva may not work according to the inherent nature and be impious. Right? So when we say karma, we mean working with the natural quality. Vikarma means working against the natural karma quality. Right? And akarma means you're working with the natural quality without attachment to the results. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that means the inherent quality of something, why a chair is a chair. How can a chair hold you off the ground? It has to have potency. So that potency, that's Krishna. That's the dharma of the chair to hold you off the ground. So the dharma of the chair, that's Krishna. That's why he's Manomaya. We'll say Manomaya, okay, means Varnashram, but that's the form of it. But actually the potency for that to be, the nature of a Brahmin, that where does that come from? The Brahmins didn't create it. They didn't just got together one day and said, hey, why don't we do this? Let all those other guys worry about administration. You know? Like that. No, it's created like that. So Dharma is Krishna. So that means he is Manomaya. Does that make sense? Yeah. So when you have that understanding of him being Manomaya, that puts you on the platform of Adhokshaja, right? Of understanding that's Vijnanamaya. Then you actually understand. Does that make sense? So that it's, you know that it's the Lord's system that makes you pious, makes you theistic. So that's why you follow Varnashram. So the following of Varnashram is for those who are theistic. Those who are atheistic, generally they're not so interested in Varnashram. Unless they see the sophisticated benefit of it, like the Daityas. But as it appears, Dhanavas don't necessarily are interested in it. Right? Like that. Yeah. Sri Govinda Bhashya. Manomaya refers to Brahman because the other qualities mentioned in the same passage apply to the Supreme Lord, not the Jiva. For instance, Prana Shariro Bharupa. He is the controller of prana. He is effulgent. Bhagavatam verse reference.
Alright.
Yes.
But jiva is also effulgent. Let's read it somewhere else.
But how effulgent? In comparison.
Oh, in comparison.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's effulgent, but, okay, he's effulgent, but is he the controller of prana?
No.
No. So therefore, if you're saying he's both those, then what is it referring to? So then we say the brilliance of the sun, that's the Lord. Because here it's then in connection from before we were talking about Surya Narayan, right? Because that seems to be the the central point about which the verses are talking, giving his qualities. So they're trying to attribute that to the demigod, you know, who's the Aditya who's sitting in the seat, not Surya Narayan, who is the potency behind the whole thing. Because it's not that when, just as a simple example, okay, every month the demigod changes, the Aditya changes. So, but what is he doing? He is, you know, managing or doing the duties of the sun. So does that mean when he gets off the seat, the sun disappears? Right? You know, we're going along, suddenly there's a blackout, and then everyone goes, okay, okay, come on, come on, come on, change. It doesn't take that long, you know. Then finally the lights go back on, okay, and the next Aditya's in the seat. Right? Yes. You understand? So that means the sun is effulgent even when the demigod leaves and the next one comes and sits. It's not like, you know, in the movies where the guy's driving, the next guy's there, they're kind of nudging over, and, like this, you know. It's not like that. You know, just, you know, I'm sure the, you know, there's more pleasantries are exchanged and stuff like that. No? Yeah, seeing they're all brothers and, you know, like that, so.
Question, anticipate the next sutra.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:8:40. Sri Markandeya said, O Almighty Lord, how can I possibly describe you? You awaken the vital air, which then impels the mind, senses, and power of speech to act. This is true for all ordinary conditioned souls, and even for great demigods like Brahma and Shiva. So it is certainly true for me. Nevertheless, you become the intimate friend of those who worship you. Right? So even though he's the controller of everything, and he's in everything and makes everything work, still, he can be the intimate friend of those who interact with him, who worship him. Right? Just because he's beyond, because that's just who he is. But that doesn't mean he can't be friends. You know, it's just like Prabhupada, he was saying about, I think it was Mr. Bosch, that, you know, who was heading the company that he was working with. Then whenever he'd have too many things on his mind and he'd want to think and all that and contemplate, he'd go for a drive in his car. And his driver, then he would discuss these things with him. So even though he's the big guy of the company and this guy's just a driver, then they were close friends. Does that make sense? You know, that's the whole thing, is that that doesn't matter about that. Friendship doesn't matter about situation. You understand? That's the point. So the Lord, he may be everything, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you can't interact as a friend. Is that, yeah? Okay. Okay, footnote 23. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, by you, the life air is made to move, and the voice, mind, and senses then act. Shruti says, Shrotasya, because the life air, because the prana, its movement, then all these other things can function. Like that. That's why when the life air leaves, then the senses, the body doesn't function anymore. Shruti says, Shrotasya, Shrotram. The Lord is the ear of the ear. Okay, so maybe they're onto something when they say the door of no door. So, you know. Yeah. But the problem is that they don't know what they're onto, right? They just, okay. Kena Upanishad 1:2. You enliven the senses not only of ordinary beings, but of Brahma and Shiva as well. What to speak of me? Like a friend, you are controlled by the love of those who worship you. You alone enable them to worship you by enlivening their minds and senses. Yet you feel unable to repay the debt of their worship and become indebted and controlled by their love. Even though he is the force behind that they can do that, that they do that, he becomes indebted. This is the uniqueness of Krishna. Right? So it's not exactly equal. He puts in all the background and then you do a little something with it and then he is so indebted.
Yeah. Like Ganges water back to the Ganges.
Yeah, Ganges water back to the Ganges. Right? Yeah. Okay. That is most astonishing. That is the greatness of your mercy. Sarda Darshani 12.8.40. No, doesn't go on to the next page.
Short?
Yeah, short one. No, that was nice. That was, don't worry. Is that like the biggest you have off of a verse? Or?
Yeah, so far.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, don't worry about it. Worked fine. Right. Worked nice. Okay, Sutra 1.2.3. Okay. Anupapattes tu tuna shariraha. Anupapatte, because of inappropriateness. Tu, indeed, na, not shariraha, the jiva. Manomaya does not refer to the jiva because the qualities mentioned cannot refer to the jiva, who is like a glow worm. Okay. Put that one off the list. Okay. What about in the Bhagavad Gita? It says that we're all pervading. You know. Okay. Okay. Sutra Prakashika. This sutra alludes to the glowworm analogy.
Analogy means it's not exactly like that.
Glowworm analogy. So that means the analogy is not even up to the glowworm, the actual glowworm. You want to use it the other way, okay. The glowworm is more glorious than the analogy. Okay. In order to emphasize the disparity between the minute jiva and the unlimited supreme Brahman. Though the firefly and the sun both emit light, the difference in quality, quantity is vast. Similarly, the jiva's limited cognitive facilities pale next to the Lord's omniscience. Therefore, to speak of them on equal footing is inappropriate. Right? So it's not that he's not brilliant like the sun, but then Krishna is brilliant like unlimited suns. And he's the whole Brahma Jyoti, everything is lit. So the potency behind the sun is coming from Krishna and the Brahma Jyoti. So that if we compare us to the sun, but where does that potency that we are brilliant come from? From Krishna. Because we're his energy, that's the Tathasta Shakti. Therefore, there's a brilliance, but that brilliance is coming from him because we're simply an energy of the energetic. Sri Govinda Bhashya. It is impossible for the qualities mentioned to refer to the jiva, since he is insignificant like a glowworm. Straightforward. Bhagavatam verse reference. 6.16.46. O unlimited supreme personality of Godhead, whatever a living entity does in this material world is well known to you because you are the supersoul. In the presence of the sun, there is nothing to be revealed by the light of a glowworm. Similarly, because you know everything, in your presence there is nothing to me, for me to make known. Right, so you must be offering prayers and then revealing, you know, talking about the glories of the Lord, but then pointing out, because you know everything, there's nothing really for me to reveal. It's just he's trying to express his appreciation. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's the whole point, is the ability to speak comes from him, like Dhruva Maharaj. He didn't know what to say. He's 5 years old. How much does he know? But the Lord touched his head with the conch shell, and then he has all knowledge, and he offered all the prayers. But because he did that, then, how do you say? The Lord is pleased. Right? Because otherwise he could have touched his head with a conch shell and he could have become the big, you know, the best, you know, international rapper, you know, there is. But, you know, so clever, no one can even figure out how he does it. But he doesn't. He glorifies the Lord with it, right? Yeah. Okay. Footnote 24. In this verse, Chitraketu prostrates himself before the Lord and expresses remorse for his past. There is little for him to say, however, for the Lord knows all. Though he is blind with material enjoyment, inspired by your devotee, Sutra 144. No, I was delivered from the well of samsara and brought to your lotus feet. Right? Because you'd have to definitely kind of concede that, you know, even though we have the principle of connecting everything to Krishna and you can be on the Paramahamsa level, even as a king, even in family like Priyavrata, like, you know, Rishabdev, Bharat Maharaj, but we have a king here with 10 million wives. right? It's not exactly recommended. Like that. So you can understand is there's a good chance he is a bit in the well of samsara. Like that. So then Narad Muni came and he delivered him. So that's the whole point, right?
We don't need to talk about all the details.
Yeah, we don't get into the details. You know? It's just like, how would he buy saris? You know, it's just, you know, he just goes in and we'll take everything in the district. You know, like that, you know, all the guys that are making hand looms. Okay, we'll take all your saris for the next year. You know. Okay. What else can I reveal? Everything is known to you. What can be revealed by a firefly in front of the sun? And what can be revealed by me in front of you? So that puts it into perspective. Are we good? Yes, okay. Okay. Then, so now because we've given all those main discussions before, so we don't have to go into so much detail. All the nyaya doesn't have to be brought out so much because now it's just a matter of understanding the position. So now it's just further words and further misconceptions by maya bodies. So basically all this is dealing with the maya bodies, or will these also be used by the other schools?
As far as I know, it's just the maya
bodies. Maya bodies. That's the main. Because if you can defeat that, you already get rid of all anything lower,
yeah,
like that. But he will deal with all the schools. Later in the Veda. Okay, Sutra 1-2-4. So that means 1-2-4. Then after that, then we go to 6, or does it go? Does it start go to 8 and then 16? Or because it's not Fibonacci, otherwise it would have been 1-2-3, and then it would have been 5.
Yeah,
okay.
Exponential.
Okay. Karma kritva vyapare sach cha. Karma, object, kartri, agent, vyapare shat, because of the statement, cha also. Manomaya does not refer to the jiva, since the text later says the jiva, subject, meets the manomaya lord, object, after death. Because otherwise, how do you meet yourself after death? I mean, that's definitely, we could use that for a movie, right? Like that. Okay. Sutra Prakashika. Vyas gives another grammatical explanation why Brahman and Jiva are not equivalent, because the Upanishads draw a clear distinction between them as subject and object. Right? That's why the grammatical is important. English, no one generally uses grammatical as argument. They may bring up grammar that how you said it was wrong. But they generally don't use it as method of arguing. Like that. Okay, Sutra Prakashika. We just did that. Sri Govinda Bhashya. At the end of the section, dealing with the Manomaya Purush, it is said, Etam iha prityā bisham bhavi tasmi. I will attain him after death. Brihad Aranyakya 3.1, 3.14, 4. The Manomaya Purush is the object of the senses. The jiva is the subject of the sentence. The manomaya lord, the object, is distinguished from the jiva, the subject. Abhishambhavati means the jiva meets the lord as a river meets the ocean. Because right? That's also the nice thing about roots. When you say, in this way he's saying meet, then it means like the river flows to the ocean. It's just that's the way it works. And so the ocean is the great thing. The river is the lesser of the two. So even though the jiva is the subject, the actual main point is the object here. Like that, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Prabhupada explains that this is actually an analogy used by the mayavadis, like you pouring the bottle back into the water.
Okay.
Prabhupada says that actually the particles of water, they still remain distinct even when merged into
Yes. So, but it's funny how they it's not uncommon that the acharyas will use their same references and examples to prove the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's. Bhagavatam verse reference. What I can see here is that why Prabhupada mentioned about Sanskrit is the most important of the academic subjects. Because if you understand that, then all this has more meaning. Right? The jiva meets. So the method of meeting is in this one way. It could be something else, you know, like the stick in the back of the donkey. You know, so it's a totally different kind of concept of meeting. But here it's just, it has to go like that. It has to flow that way. The jiva's energy and that has to go to the Lord because he's the source, right? The river goes back to the ocean because the water came from the ocean. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is you start with that root and build on it, then you get this term, which simply means meet, but how it's meeting. You know, like that.
And Queen Kunti uses the same analogy.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes.
May my consciousness flow.
Yes, yes.
To the Lord.
Yeah. So it's a very important concept of meeting, because it's just natural. That's the spontaneous river's spontaneous flow. They don't kind of come down and then wonder, should I go this way, or that looks like a nice city over there, let's go check that out, or you know, no, they just keep flowing down to the ocean. Mm-hmm. Even if they do go through the city, they go again back out to the ocean.
Naturally go around and the obstacle that tries to stop them.
Yeah. So like that. It's very, yes.
Sometimes you get dammed up.
Yeah, but at one point then, you know, there's retribution. And Bhagavatam verse reference. Even the most exalted jivas remain always subordinate to he who is Manomaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 1648. My dear Lord, it is after you endeavor that Lord Brahma, Indra and the other directors of the cosmic manifestation become occupied with their activities. It is after you perceive the material energy, my Lord, that the senses begin to perceive. The Supreme Personality of Godhead holds all universes on his heads like seeds of mustard. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, that Supreme Personality, who has thousands of hoods. Yes, yeah, so it's, he's the one that starts the whole thing. And then from that, then things work. He sees, therefore we see. So since we're seeing what he's seeing, then the natural thing is that the person interested in God consciousness would like to see what Krishna sees the way he sees it. Right, so he sees something and its connection with him. Now, if we see that in connection with us, that's not nice. You know, just like, let's say, somebody shows you, you know, something of theirs. So they're seeing it as theirs, and then when you see it, you think, oh, that should be mine. Then we're not seeing in the same way. Then we're not dealing in the same proper mentality. So the point is how Krishna sees it, that's how we should see it. So that's what the Vedas explain. Since the Veda is Krishna, is explaining how does he see it. So,
the fourth canto, this is the definition of Krishna consciousness.
Oh, okay.
To see the universe the same way as Krishna.
To see the universe the same way as Krishna. So that's the Drishya Vichar. Yeah. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He, you know, made this a prominent aspect. That's nice, fourth canto. Fourth canto is whose stories are there? Dhruva. Okay. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. He's seeing, so then that by that power we can see. So we're just tapping into already the seeing process. It's not that we're separately seeing. Right? And so that's why everybody, you can say that there's a concept, we can have a common concept of what we're seeing. Otherwise everybody may have a different idea of what it is. But there's a common idea of what it is because the Lord's seeing it and he sees it in the way he does. Now, whether we want to use it the way he sees it, that's another thing. But at least there's a common point of seeing. So now when we use it how he sees it, that's Krishna consciousness. Yeah? Okay. Yes?
In the purport to the verse we just mentioned, Prabhupada and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also talk about concentrate on the desires of the living entities and explain how the Lord, I mean, it appears that he's talking about how the Lord sees in relation to the living entities and their desires and so on, rather than the exact form and structure as being the main point.
No, because the structure is, means the point is it has to carry the effect that is desired. You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, to the one girl, you know, you give her, how you say, you know, a nice, you know, pink purse, and then she's really happy. But to another girl, she would rather have a titanium carburetor. But to her, that's the same thing. Oh, you care so much because you know what she likes, and then therefore you get, and so there, it has the same effect. So the forms actually aren't the main thing. It means there's the standard how the forms work. But at the same time, as it's more the effect, is you have to work on how the feminine nature sees. So because he's masculine, he will act according to how the feminine sees it. Because even though there's a basic standard, how it's going to be actually seen at the moment is actually, it's how the female sees it. The male's always going to see it in the same way. But so that just creates just a consistent environment, which is important, because variety is only interesting in a consistent environment, right? Is that, you know, if we want to create variety, okay, one time lunch is at 12, the next day it's at 4, the next day it's 8 in the morning, the next day we'll have it at midnight. It's a problem, you know? And then, you know, one day, you know, we bring out the plate on that, and next to the plate, instead of being forks on that, there's a tweezers and a magnifying glass. The next time we bring it in a wheelbarrow. You understand? So there has to be a context of variety. Right? So that's the masculine principle. Then the feminine will see it in different ways. So how the feminine is seeing it at the moment, that's then how the masculine then responds. And then you have relationship. Because if you try to make the relationship based on how the masculine sees it, it will never work. Right? Maybe before a relationship is established, the female will make adjustments to try to catch the attention, because once the attention, then it should switch over to her perspective. But once it's established, then she will go to the natural feminine nature. You know what I'm saying? So taking that masculine nature will be a temporary. That's the principle, is that feminine can take the masculine mood, but only temporarily. Right, and only for the purpose of obtaining the feminine, right, like that. So, therefore, when if we say the forms aren't the prominent, that's because it's not. It's how the feminine perceives those forms, right? You know, the man from the country comes to the city and goes, "Oh no," and the guy from the city goes to the country and goes, "Oh no," right? So it just depends how you see it. So, like that, then you interact. Does that make sense?
So when we speak of how Krishna sees it, he sees his living entities dealing with his inferior energy in forgetfulness of him?
Means he's seeing how they're doing that, and so those arrangements are being made. But the point is it's supposed to be that the living entity sees it and connects it back with him. So he makes adjustment for the living entity, but the living entity is supposed to see it connects with him. So as far as relationship goes, Krishna's already acting within the relationship in the proper way. We're the one that's avoiding the relationship. It's not that, oh, okay, I'm making this step. That's why it says you make one step, Krishna makes 10, because actually it's already going on. It's just that on what level. So since we're working on the level of, here that he's Manomaya, which is actually a very elevated level, then he'll deal that way. But then there's going to be higher than that. He is Anandamaya. So as we progress, then he reciprocates. So but it's not that the forms don't have specific things that they can do. They do have a religion. So now if the individual living entity is applying that religion according to how it's supposed to be, he's called pious and he gets good results. If the living entity is going against those natural... that natural religion, that's called impious, he'll get bad results. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
So Krishna, taking the masculine position, trying to establish a relationship with us, and we're trying to play the masculine position, trying to explain his family.
Yes, that's it. So that's it. He's masculine because he is. We're trying to be, but we don't do a good job. right? And you see, it still has to function according to the feminine nature, because we're not taking one position and being in the same position for millions of lifetimes. It has to keep changing each time, otherwise we're going to get bored. Right? So it's still arranged to... In other words, you're creating an environment in which the feminine nature can pretend it's masculine. You know? Does that make sense? So it's a bit overdone. Is that?
I'm still trying to establish.
Yes, like that. And then we're trying to get... In other words, we're... Jivas were feminine, we're trying to take the masculine position, but in our taking the masculine position, we expect all other jivas to act in the feminine position. Right? But somehow or another, they don't. And even though we're doing that, we're acting in the masculine position, they're supposed to act in the feminine position. We say we're acting in the masculine way, but we're not. We're acting in the feminine way. So basically what we're doing is, let's say you have a group of females and one's stronger than all the others and trying to get all the others to recognize her position. Does that make sense? So that's actually what we're trying to do. So that doesn't necessarily work out so good. You know what I'm saying? If the masculine tries to establish, then it's uncomfortable, but at least it's more normal. You understand? It's easier. So that's why here we just say it is trouble. We'll say, why is it so much trouble here? Because the whole premise of the whole thing is trouble. So only when we acknowledge Krishna as, and then we do everything in that way, then it works. Just like if you have in a group the female who's submissive and is working nicely with everyone else, everybody likes that one. Right? Because one is one less person to try to be the controller. So you know you can control this one, so that gives you something. So then now you can fight better with the other ones. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why then for the devotee, then they have no enemies. Because they fit in. It's everybody else who's not fitting in. So it gets a bit weird when you look at it. You know? Yes.
Just that last point, is it that they don't perceive there to be any enemies, though there may be enemies?
They don't perceive, no. Because for them, no one's an enemy. But it doesn't mean that others don't find, like Yudhishthira has no enemies. It doesn't mean Duryodhana doesn't have a problem. But that's because everybody's his enemy, because he wants to be the Lord and Master of all he surveys. So, right? Only if you support him in that, then, you know, like... Vidura is working for his benefit, but he's an enemy because he's not supporting that he's the supreme. His father's okay, but a bit wishy-washy, you know, like that. The other ones, Bhishma, this and that, he doesn't really like, but, him going up against Bhishma is no contest. So he kind of has to tolerate him. But Vidura, you know, he could toss him out like that. But Shakuni and Karna, they fully support like that. One out of, you know, that... You know, friendship that you actually did something for me. I had no position. You gave me a position, though I deserve a position. And the others didn't recognize that deservation. And so then he like Duryodhana and Shakuni. He's got his own motives. He wants the bigger Duryodhana's false ego, then the harder he falls. And so that's the whole point. So
you say desserts. Just desserts.
Just desserts.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Desserts. Just desserts. Okay.
That's all you eat is just desserts?
I hope so.
Okay. So that's why then the high-class English refer to it as pudding, not dessert. Because dessert could be in anything. Okay.
Also, Father Six Goswamis and the Goswami asked to come. Dear to the gentle and the ruffians.
Yes. Yeah, because everybody can, because you can trust. Because that's a big problem. Is you know, it means those who are gentle, then they can relate to someone dealing properly and all that, and so they can see that they're dealing so properly, more gentle than anybody. So then they'll respect them there. And for the ruffians can't trust anybody. So if you have someone like Asada who you can deal with and be open and all that, then they become very indebted. So that's why for the devotee, he has no problems in any sphere. He's the only one that's universal. Like that. That's the...
Like Narada Muni. So he could approach Kamsa and Hiranyakashipu and yeah. They were all okay with him.
Yeah, and they would also trust him.
Yeah.
I mean, not with his son, but, you know, other than that, you know. Basically because they couldn't trust the son. They knew what he would do.
Yeah.
You know, but... You know, it's like, what do you call it? One devotee was saying when they were preaching in the Middle East to some, you know, these some sheikhs or something, then they had a movie about ISKCON. And so they were interested. So they said, you know, okay, we'll watch the movie. But before the movie, they sent all the kids out of the room. Like that. And then they explained that, you know, we're, you know, nicely situated. So we can watch and just, you know, it'll be of interest's sake, you know, what you're doing. But the kids, they're still, you know, they could be influenced, so therefore they leave the room. So that's how Hiranyakashipu could have a nice relationship with Narada Muni, yeah. But, you know, same time. Okay, thousands of hoods. Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, after the Lord's actions, the devatas can use their action senses. After the Lord sees, the knowledge senses can perceive their sense objects. Sardartha Darshani 6:16-48. Oh, that was outside. Okay, that was it. Okay. Sutra 125. Shabda visheshat. Shabda words visheshat because of the difference. Manomaya is the Lord because the Lord and Jiva are distinguished by words in different cases, indicating the worshipped and the worshipper. Okay, so now you've established the main thing and all that, and now you give also grammatical references and that backing it up so this becomes clear, because also in the grammatical reference, as we saw, it brings out more meaning, more depth to the understanding. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakara presents more grammatical evidence for the distinction between manomaya and jiva. The devotee jiva is placed in the genitive case, and the object of his worship is placed in the nominative case. Shigovindabhashya. In the sentence, Esha me atmantar hridaye, he is within my heart, Chandogya Upanishad 3:14-3. The next verse, the word me, in the genitive case, indicates the jiva, who is the worshipper, and the subject, Esha, which indicates the manomaya Lord, who is to be worshipped. So the genitive here means, genitive is?
Possessive.
Oh, okay, it goes into the secondary nouns. Okay. Okay. Which indicates the manomaya. Okay, so he's the genitive means he's the possessor of that worship of the Lord. Or that devotion towards the Lord. Is that what it's meaning? That would be the genitive aspect?
May hridaye, my heart.
Yeah. Oh, my heart meaning... Oh, simply
he's
just...
He's in the heart.
He's in my heart. Okay, so that means that there has to be a difference because it's my heart, not...
Mm-hmm. The heart, right?
Yeah. Yes. The two words in different cases indicate two different entities. Thus, the object worship... Manomaya is different from the jiva, the worshipper. Right? So here's another way they're approaching it. Right? Bhagavatam verse reference. Manomaya, the universal mind, is worship. The living entities are his worshippers. These are... Good.
Clarifying.
Yes, good. You know, so you have this, and then you have the footnotes. So good combination. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:5-27. The Supreme Personality of Godhead directly and indirectly knows how everything, including the living force, prana and mind, mana, and intelligence, dhiya, is working under his control. He is the illuminator of everything and has no ignorance. He does not have a material body, subject to the reactions of previous activities, and he is free from the ignorance of partiality and materialistic education. So right here, so it's not just a new thing, the ignorance of materialistic education. Okay. Ignorance of partiality in material education. I therefore take, so that means those with materialistic education tend to be partial. Yeah. I therefore take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, who is eternal, all-pervading, and as great as the sky, and who appears with six opulences and three yugas, Satya, Treta, and Dvapara. Footnote 26. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada takes the word vipaschitam, omniscient, from this verse, and compares it to the word abhigya, from the first verse of Bhagavatam. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in this way: Janmadyasya yato nvayat itaratas chartesva bhigya. The Lord is the origin of all emanations, and he directly and indirectly knows everything about all the activities within his creation. Therefore, the Lord is addressed here as vipaschitam, one who is full of all knowledge, or who knows everything. The Lord is the Supreme Soul, and he knows everything about the living entities and their senses. The word anidram means always awake and free from ignorance. It's very important in this verse. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Mata Smritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha, it is the Lord who gives intelligence to everyone and who causes everyone to forget. There are millions and millions of living entities, and the Lord gives them directions. Therefore, he has no time to sleep, and he is never in ignorance of our activities. The Lord is the witness of everything. He sees what we are doing at every moment. The Lord is not covered by a body resulting from karma. So then by the definition, that would make, actually, Santa would have to be, that would have to be the...
He knows when you've been bad or good.
Yeah. So that means that actually is there. And then there's the devata, you know, who comes and climbs down the chimney and stuff, right? So he's the supreme Santa. The Lord is not covered by a body resulting from karma. Our bodies are formed by a result of our past deeds, karmana daiva netrena. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not have a material body, and therefore he has no avidya, ignorance. He does not sleep, but is always alert and awake. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.5.27 purport. But he may have a pastime of sleeping, so it appears it has the symptoms of, but he's absorbed, he knows everything just by his nature. It's not that he has to make a separate endeavor, you know. He doesn't get a headache by sitting there and, oh, like that. He doesn't have to do that. Just naturally he knows that, because he is everything. Right? You know, it's like you know what your toes are doing. It's not that it's a separate endeavor. So, okay. And Sutra 126. Smritesh cha, smritehe, because of the Smriti Shastra, cha also. This is supported by the statements of Smriti, right? Because we've now given Shruti, now we're saying Smriti. Sutra Prakashika. Now it is shown how the Smriti agrees with the Shruti passages cited above, Sri Govinda Bhashya. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesh share tunatishtati. Brahmanyan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. O Arjuna, the Lord is situated in the heart of all living entities. He engages in action all living entities who are mounted on a machine made of Prakriti. Bhagavad Gita 18:61. So, again, he is the one that's making it work. We can't say... Another point would be, so he's not to blame. No, he's just supplying it. You want to do it, he supplies what it is to do it. But we're the one that's doing it. So therefore, we identify with it. We get the reaction. He doesn't identify with it.
That. Well, it's same grammatical as the last verse. Ishvara.
Oh, situated in the heart, yeah.
Of the living entity.
And he engages all living entities. So you have both. You have the what do you call it? The subjective and the
genitive.
And the genitive. Like that. And the Lord's always the objective here.
He's the subject in this verse.
Oh, subject here. Okay.
And Sarvabhutanam is the genitive.
Okay.
In the heart of living entity.
Okay.
Same.
Okay.
Right.
The Smriti statement shows that the jiva is different from the Lord. So in two cases here, then he's different. So the same is shown in the Smriti. Right? Bhagavatam reference, 7.5.14. O Brahmanas, teachers, as iron attracted by a magnetic stone moves automatically towards the magnet, my consciousness, having been changed by his will, is attracted by Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc in his hand. Thus I have no independence. 27, right? He's not complaining here. Like that. The relationship between the living entity and God is real, right? In other words, this is a, you know, who's speaking here? 7.5. Prahlad Maharaj, yeah. So there's some maturity. So he's not speaking like a, you know, how you say, teenager here. The relationship between the living entity and God is real, eternal, and therefore worship and service is natural. Srila Prabhupada comments. For iron to be attracted by a magnet is natural. Similarly, for all living entities to be attracted towards Krishna is natural. And therefore, the Lord's real name is Krishna, meaning he who attracts everyone and everything. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.14 purport. Right? So it's just, not only is it they're separate, but it's natural that they have a relationship where the jiva is attracted to the Lord. And his consciousness goes towards the Lord in that. The Lord already is in a position, so he's dealing with himself, so that's not a problem. But we're being attracted to that, then that is the basis of the relationship with the Lord. Yeah, so we're taking it beyond. You can see it's not just defeating the other schools of philosophy, but establishing devotional service. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.